Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Let's turn to local reaction to President Trump's plan to rebuild and repair the nation's roads, bridges, and transportation systems. Speaking at the White House earlier today, the president wants to use a modest amount of federal money, about $200 billion, to spur $1.5 trillion in infrastructure spending over the next decade.
This is a common sense and bipartisan plan that every member of Congress should support. I look forward to working with them and we're going to get the American people roads that are fixed and bridges that are fixed. And if for any reason they don't want to support it, hey, that's going to be up to them.
So can this approach, which would require lots of state money and private investment, actually work? We put that question to Massachusetts Congressman Seth Moulton, a second-term Democrat from Salem, who stopped by our studio earlier today.
Doesn't sound like it. What I've heard from experts who've looked at his proposal is that it will bilk the profits of people who are already planning to do projects by enabling them to do them on the cheap, but it won't actually spur the kind of investment that we truly need. Of course, we have a deficit in our nation's infrastructure, a backlog that's many trillions of dollars. So the fact that he wants to put $200 billion towards that is just a pittance. My other concern is that he's investing in 20th century infrastructure, not the 21st century infrastructure that we need. Where's the investment in next generation high-speed rail? Where's the investment in broadband to make sure that everybody in America, no matter where you live, has access to the internet? Those are the kinds of investments that we need to meet the demands of the new economy.
I want to get your response to something the president tweeted out this morning. And I ask you in particular because you're a veteran. So Trump tweets, after so stupidly spending $7 trillion in the Middle East, it is now time to start investing in our country. What's your response to that tweet?
That this draft dodger-in-chief, the guy who got 5 deferments to avoid serving his country himself, has no idea what he's talking about. Of course, he's arrogantly claimed that he knows more than the generals, and we all know that that isn't true. But on a more personal level, for all the sacrifices that the troops that I served with and I made, it's offensive. Now, look, I didn't support the Iraq War.
But see, that's where I was going. I mean, just the fundamental idea that it's time to start spending at home rather than on foreign adventures. I mean, do you agree with that sort of principle that he laid out there?
Look, I didn't support the Iraq War, but I supported us going into Afghanistan because that's where the terrorist attacks came from on 9/11. And I support us finishing the job in Iraq so that we don't have to go back. But I don't think Trump thinks about this. He knows that none of his sons or daughters are ever going to volunteer to serve in the nation's military, so he's not worried on a personal level. He's not going to have to make any sacrifices if things fall apart again in the Middle East and we have to go put them back together again. So I know that the troops serving there now, and I go and visit them as a member of the Armed Services Committee, I know that they're there because they want to make this work so that they can succeed and therefore come home. And that's the approach that we should be taking.
Let me come back to this point about infrastructure, though. Is there a danger that Democrats who oppose the approach that the president has laid out, you among them, a danger in opposing this could be sort of portrayed as you're opposing anything because it's being presented by President Trump?
Well, some Democrats believe in that, but I certainly don't. You know, I've always said that it's not enough just to oppose Trump or the Republicans. We have to put forward our own vision for the country. You know, what's our tax reform plan? And in this case, what's our infrastructure plan? Now, the Democratic Party has recently introduced an infrastructure plan. I think it's a huge step in the right direction. I don't think it goes far enough. But the point is, we have to have our own plans. We need to tell the American voters where we're going to take you if you choose to work with us or side with us on our proposals or vote for us in the next election. And I think it's time for a new generation of leaders in the Democratic Party to move that vision forward and explain it to the American people. And that's why I'm spending so much time encouraging and supporting a group of young veterans who have chosen to serve the country again by running in key swing districts across the country, key swing districts that we need to win as Democrats if we're going to take back the House in 2018.
So talk a little bit about this strategy of recruiting fellow vets like you to run for Congress. Why vets? What makes them the sort of key for Democrats here?
Well, you know, the thing is, just to go back to the beginning, Anthony, I'm not someone who got involved in this because I have a long history in politics.
Yeah.
Not at all. In fact, when I was elected, I said, I'm not really interested in the political side of things. I just want to be a good congressman. But after the last election, when Trump went to the White House, I, like many Americans, said, I've got to do something to help. I looked for the best opportunity to put a check on the president. I think that's winning the House in 2018. I looked at what I think is a historic problem in the Democratic Party, which is that we don't recruit the right candidates. You know, too often we just pick the next person in line, the person who's done his or her time, the establishment figure, rather than the best leader for the moment. And, well, I'm a veteran myself, and I know veterans are particularly well-respected in swing districts where they need to get the votes of not just Democrats, but independents and maybe a few Republicans as well, people who will vote for them not just because of their party label, but because they're trusted leaders. So I decided that putting these things together, I would try to recruit and encourage and support veterans to run. Now, some of them I've recruited myself and convinced to take the plunge. Many others decided to run on their own, but I've gotten behind them and have provided them some training, some, you know, raising some money. We'll travel to their districts and just kind of get on the phone and act as a, as I guess, a little bit of a mentor. I hesitate to use that term because I've only been in this job a few years myself. But as someone who ran for Congress as a first-time candidate, who dealt with all the attacks, not just from Republicans, but from the Democratic establishment when I sort of challenged the system, I've been a good sounding board, I think, for these candidates, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Well, you mentioned bucking party leadership, and I've talked to you about this in the past. You voted against Nancy Pelosi's reelection as House Speaker. So let me ask you, by contrast, your colleague, fellow Congressman Joe Kennedy III, has remained loyal to Pelosi. Among other things, he was asked to deliver that high-profile rebuttal to the president's State of the Union address. So the question is there a danger for a second-term congressman like you bucking party leadership in this way? The danger being that you might be forfeiting the kind of influence that you could have within the party.
Well, of course there's danger, but there's often danger in doing the right thing. And I just think this is the right thing for the party and the country. I think that it's time for a new generation of leadership. And it's not just about Nancy Pelosi. I mean, she is an extraordinarily accomplished legislator. She's done a lot for this country. She was the first woman to become Speaker of the House of Representatives. But I think that it's time for a new generation to step up and to talk about how we're going to take the nation forward, not just complain about Trump and the Republicans, and make room for these new leaders who can emerge in our party. I just think that this is the right thing to do. And personally, I don't think that we can start winning again, Anthony, until we start leading again.
Well, let me ask you about an interesting fight that is sort of a family fight that's going to be taking place here in Massachusetts. Michael Capuano, Democratic congressman from Somerville, facing a challenge from Boston City Councilor Ayanna Pressley. So she represents new blood, new kind of leadership. She's a woman of color in a majority-minority district. Would you support her? I mean, I know that's not your district, but is this a good fight to be having?
Well, look, I'm the product of a competitive primary myself. Now, I serve with Mike Capuano, and he, I think, is a good member of Congress. He's been fantastic for the district that he represents. And I must say he's been a real mentor to me, and I am incredibly grateful for that. I don't know Ayanna Pressley as well, but I've heard nothing but good things. She is also an incredibly accomplished person who we should be encouraging in the political process. So I'm not going to take sides in this primary. I'm going to stay out of it and let the voters in this district decide, which is the whole point. That's the way it should be. But I'm certainly cognizant of my own experience where I decided to take on an incumbent congressman. And a lot of people told me that I had no right to do that. People told me that, you know, by challenging the establishment in Massachusetts, the Democratic establishment, not only would I lose, but I would never have a chance of running again. I'd be, I guess, blackballed from the entire political process. And fundamentally, what they were telling me as a young veteran was, Seth, do not participate in the democracy you risked your life to defend. And that's wrong. We need to encourage people to participate now more than ever.
I want to ask you sort of finally about where you think the Democrats are as we move toward these midterm elections and the effort to retake the House. As we mentioned, you're out there supporting other candidates. What encourages you out there? What discourages you out there? What are you seeing? What's the feeling you're getting on the ground, I guess?
Well, I think the single best thing to come out of the November 2016 elections is the energy that's come into the political process. The people who say, enough is enough, I want to make a difference. And the fact that so many people are saying, you know what, a lot of people in Washington have taken power away from us. We're going to take that power back. And that's what our democracy is about. And I'm going to have a personal role in playing a part. Some people are running for office. Some people are volunteering for campaigns. Some people are just getting involved with nonprofits. This energy, this civic participation is exactly what we need more of in our country. I think it's what can change our politics. I think it's what can give power back to the people when too many cronies in Washington have taken it away from us. I also think, frankly, it's why Democrats have a real good chance of taking back the House of Representatives.
And if the Democrats fail to retake the House, I mean, what would be the reason why? In other words, you just made a sort of strong case for why people like you should be optimistic, but obviously we're many months away. Things can go wrong. What's the danger? What do Democrats have to look out for?
Well, I think it's very important that we present our own vision for the country and talk about where we're going to take America, not just where we've been and not just the problems with Trump and the Republicans. Take an issue like the economy. I think a lot of Americans are getting left out of the new economy, and many of them are so frustrated they voted for this outsider, for Trump, for president. But his prescription for dealing with the economy is to blame immigrants and to go back into the coal mines. And I think many Americans are realizing now that it's not immigrants who are taking jobs. It's, frankly, robots. Many jobs are getting automated out of existence. The economy is changing so quickly. And what Democrats ought to do is say how we're going to tackle this new economy. We ought to have a plan to say how everybody in America has a role to play in the new economy, no matter where you live. It means that we need to show how investments can be made in the middle of the country, not just in places like here in Boston or out in Silicon Valley. We've got to have a tax plan that, unlike the Republican plan, rather than benefiting big companies, benefits the small and new growing businesses that drive job growth and innovation. So those are the kinds of plans that we need to put forward as a Democratic Party. And if we do that, I think we can capture people's imagination and show them that we're going to take them to a better place, not just complain about the Republicans all along the way.
Last question. I was at one of your town hall meetings a few weeks back in Salem, and what I was struck by was, by and large, the folks who come out like Seth Moulton, and you got a lot of applause. But there were also some tough questions from some Trump supporters
there.
And as we know, more than a million folks in Massachusetts voted for President Trump. What do you say to them? I mean, do you understand why a million people in Massachusetts voted for Trump?
Well, I'm trying to learn. And seriously, yeah. Anthony, it's really important because I'm a representative for everybody in my district. Trump voters, Clinton voters, people who didn't even show up to vote because they weren't inspired by either candidate. And I take that responsibility seriously. That's fundamentally my job as a public servant. And so I've got to understand the people in my district. In fact, that's why last term I held more town halls than any other Democrat in Congress, House or Senate, because it's my job to listen to the people that I represent. And frankly, I think that all of us Democrats need to do a better job of listening to the Trump voters and understanding why they voted for someone that we thought would really take the country in the wrong direction. And I think, frankly, has taken the country in a lot of bad directions on various policies since his election. But we've got to understand why people are frustrated with the system. And fundamentally, we've got to present a better vision.
All right. Congressman Seth Moulton represents the Massachusetts 6th Congressional District. Congressman, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Anthony.
Always a pleasure. And stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.